So good to see you out here this evening. Well, tonight I just want to talk with you, give you a little message, Christmas message, before we have communion. And but I'm going to read from Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, and just look at the Christmas story that comes out of the Old Testament. Lots of times we read the story of the birth of Jesus in the New Testament, and I want to read to you the story that comes out of the Old Testament. His name shall be called. And we kind of sang a song just a few moments ago, and that talks about that. So Isaiah 7:14 says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." Isaiah 9:6-7. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies, it will make this happen." May the Lord add his blessing to his word. So tonight I just thought we'd do something a little bit different and look at some of the Old Testament that talks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It talks about the birth of Christ. And as you read the New Testament, you'll often see that these verses are referred to in the New Testament, referring back to the prophecies that came out of the Old Testament that this was to come to be. And as we look at these stories of Christ in the Old Testament, you'll see that there are many names that are given to Jesus. Now, these names aren't necessarily that he was going to be called literally these names, but rather that these names were very serving to give an accurate description and designation of his being and of his character. And it starts off with talking to us, telling you that a son is being given. Of course, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. A gift from God, born of a virgin. Even that was prophesied many years before it actually came to pass. It talks about he will bring deliverance and bring rejoicing to the people. He will be a legitimate heir to the throne of David, but will be a much greater king. And later on in the book of Revelations, we see that he's referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he'll be a ruler, an administrator of government, a king, a sovereign. And really, these names, they fail to do justice of who he really is, but still they give us a vivid picture of who Jesus is and what he can do. And so I just want to take a few moments here this evening and just look at some of these Old Testament verses and just to see what it's saying to us about our Jesus that we celebrate this very night and tomorrow as well. And that first name that we're introduced here in the scripture is the name Emmanuel. Again, 7:14, and it says, "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." And so the birth of Christ is a sign from heaven, a sign of unusual importance and significance. A virgin birth was prophesied, which is in itself a wonder. How does that happen? And it was to be a sign to the unbelieving world that something supernatural was happening. God was going to bring forth a miraculous birth to save the nation and the world. A Savior was to be born, a literal Son of God, which reminds us of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." God loved us enough to send us his Son. So this child, this son that God sent, the Bible says he's going to be called Emmanuel, which basically means God with us. So God is now present among us in the flesh, and he promises to be with us, not just then, but through all eternity forever. And as you continue to read the scriptures and you come to the end of the book of Matthew, we see Jesus reminding us that this promise is still true, even as he was ascending to the Father. And he says, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this Jesus that we celebrate at this time is a God that is with us. So we do not need to fear, as he is an ever-present help. In that time of trouble, he is with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. So this Jesus that we celebrate is called our Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And then secondly, we see that this Jesus of Christmas is to be called wonderful, as he's such a wonder, and everything about him causes people to wonder. It says a wonderful counselor, but as you kind of read that in the original, it kind of breaks that up where he's just referred to as wonderful. And I think that's appropriate. See, a wonder is an amazement beyond anything previously known or anticipated. A wonder is something that will cause people to marvel and to be in awe. And our Jesus is a wonder through and through. He's a person of extraordinaire that surpasses human thought and understanding. He's an amazing God, supreme above all others on the earth and in heaven. Colossians 1:15 reminds us of that. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Our Jesus is a wonder. He's a wonder of wonders. He's supreme over all, and he shall be called wonderful. Next, we see that Jesus will be called counselor, and a wonderful counselor. That Isaiah 9:6, for a child is born to us, a son is given, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called wonderful counselor. Again, that part of wonder, that he's a wonder even in the area of being a counselor. He will have a wisdom far greater than anyone else who has ever lived, even greater than Solomon. He will possess a treasure of wisdom and knowledge that will enable him to redeem and save his people. His counsel will be great as the spirit of wisdom rests on him. Isaiah 11:2 talks about Jesus. It says, and the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So our Lord, he will not need any advisors. He will not need any counselors around him because he is the counselor of counselors. Thus a wonderful counselor that will cause people to wonder at his great wisdom. So our Jesus will be called the wonderful counselor. And then the next name that we have is Mighty God, the Almighty God. There's no one greater in power than he. That's what it's telling us. Isaiah 9:6, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's more than just a supernatural being, but he's God himself, the all-powerful one, the Almighty God. He has strength and power to defeat all powers of opposition and is able to save us all who will trust in him as a mighty Savior. I like Psalm 28:24-8. It says, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. So there's no one greater or stronger or more supreme than he. He is able to do all things, and nothing is too hard for him to do. He tells us that all things are possible with him. That's our Jesus. He's our mighty God. Another name for Jesus here is Everlasting Father. He's the eternal Father who forever loves and supplies the needs of his children. Again, verse 6, he says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is the eternal God with no beginning or no end. And if we expect to live forever in heaven, then obviously we should be trusting in the one who is eternal. His love for us, his care for us, will never end. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us because he is a good father. Psalm 103:13 says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." So our God is a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a compassionate God. He's everything a loving father should be, and his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And then lastly, it says that he is the Prince of Peace. He shall be called the Prince of Peace, the one person who holds a hope of peace for all the world and for all eternity. Verse 6 again, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so if a person is wanting peace, then obviously we need to be looking to the Prince of Peace. He has brought peace with God by being our sacrifice for sin, and eventually will bring peace to the whole world where he reigns here on earth and also in the new heaven for all eternity. And if you can think about it, imagine a world without war, because that's coming. It really is. But he also does something more in this area of peace. He also offers anyone who would place their faith in him peace of mind and of heart. It says we just need to pray and ask for that peace. If we're lacking that peace in our own lives, he says, ask of him. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So our Jesus that we celebrate at this Christmas time is the one that can give us peace. Peace today, peace tomorrow, and peace forevermore. So if we want peace, we just need to look to the Prince of Peace. Now, a good illustration of that truth was experienced during World War I. You may have heard this story. On Christmas Eve in 1914, on the battlefield, there occurred an informal cessation of hostilities that no one called for. It started Christmas Eve with the Germans beginning to sing Christmas carols. They began to light some candles, even having some small trees decorated. And of course, in the night, if you lit something like that, you could have been easily picked off by the Allied forces. But they too, they didn't want to do that. They knew that something was happening. And as they listened, they could hear the Germans begin to sing Christmas carols. As they began to sing, the Allied forces began to sing back. And so he had multiple nations that were singing various Christmas carols honoring the Prince of Peace. Now, two carols of significance at that time was "Come All Ye Faithful," "Come and Adore Him," and the other familiar one is "Silent Night." So they're singing of our dear Savior's birth, singing of a Prince of Peace. And interestingly, as they do that, peace comes in that area of that battlefield. Here they are at peace. They're in a war where millions of people were going to be killed. But on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, those worship songs caused both sides to leave their trenches, and they started walking across no man's land, and they began to shake one another's hands. They began to exchange gifts with one another, such as cigarettes and food and candy and bottles of wine. They also took some time to pick up their fallen comrades so that they could take them back to their lines and have them buried. It even says that there were some that got together and they actually started to play a game of soccer. An unusual time of peace in the midst of a very cruel war. Why did that happen? They were worshiping the Prince of Peace. And if we would learn that today, we could have peace on earth, over the whole earth, if we would learn to look to the Prince of Peace. Interesting, as you continue to read that story, the commanders were upset about that. And so they issued new policies in war. that that would never, ever take place again. But let me tell you something, they're wrong, because it will take place. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, is coming again, and there will be a time of peace forevermore. I think we need to look at ourselves to make sure that as we come into this Christmas season, we're given an opportunity, we're given a reminder, just like those soldiers were, that there is a Prince of Peace that we all should bow down to, that we all should serve, and that we should give our lives to. And his name is Jesus, Jesus Christ. He really is the reason for our season, and we need to be reminded of how he's such a wonderful, wonderful Savior that no one else can compare to. Our Jesus is worthy of all these names. He is a wonder. He's the wonderful Emmanuel. He's a wonderful wonder. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful mighty God. He's a wonderful Father. He's a wonderful Prince of Peace. There's so many names that describe who he is. But the greatest name that we can speak is the name Jesus. That we can call on that name of Jesus. Because, you know, there's another passage of Scripture that talks about his name. And it's found in Philippians 2, 9 to 11. It says, therefore God exalted Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him a name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Savior is supreme. He has many names that he's known by, but his name is above all other names. And that greatest name is the name of Jesus. That name that we're celebrating tonight, that name that we'll be celebrating tomorrow on the actual Christmas day. And so I want to encourage you, look to him. Look to him. He really is the answer to our world. He is the answer to all the troubles that are going on in our world. He is the answer to the troubles that we may be experiencing in our own lives. It's Jesus. We need to give him thanks. We need to give him praise.